You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.
Hey, welcome to HR Bandit, the podcast where we cover the top three news from the month gone by. This is Apoorva, joined by your consistent host Ankita, and we are here yet again with our best mix yet. If this is your first time here, a big welcome, and we hope you enjoy the ride. If this is you returning, we hope you've subscribed to the channel, followed, rated the show, shared with your friends. You know, everything one does to support a podcast, we hope you got us. Before we delve into our topics, though, April has been unusually busy, Ankita. What have you been doing the last few weeks?
The only thing that comes to mind is travel. So I'm currently tuned in, very sleepy from Seattle, and this is probably my 6th week of traveling off and on. So I am really, really looking back to going home and then staying there for a few months, mostly because I realized I have zero discipline when I travel. So that creates total chaos. And I envy the people who can travel across multiple time zones and still stick to a really consistent routine. Apoorva, what have you been up to?
Yeah, well, I have not been living the consulting life that you've been living by all the travel you've done. But I did travel a bit for pleasure to Yosemite, which is this beautiful national park here in California. Other than that, honestly, I spent a bit of time catching up with so much more that has happened in the Gen AI space and was following the latest updates from OpenAI and Google, and have really been scratching my head and compiling a plan for myself to really keep my skills up to date with God knows what's going to hit our profession moving forward.
That is true. Do you want to take us into what's in store for today?
All right. So with that, let's take a look at what we have. So first up, our most contentious topic today will be Google, who fired a total of 50 employees who stormed their offices in the US protesting against Google's contract with the government of Israel. Were they right in doing so? So listen in and follow along to see what we think. For the second topic, Microsoft's 2024 Work Trend Index is now out. And surprise, surprise, or no surprises, that it's all about AI. For our third and final topic, Starbucks removed DEI requirements from their executive pay structures. So we have three very different and very fascinating topics. But before we go there, Ankita, while you were traveling, I also saw that you attended an HR event by the American Chamber of Commerce in Ireland. Do you want to talk a little bit about what it was about and what you were doing there?
What was I doing there? Yes. But before I get to that, two things. First, one of the things I've not been able to do because I'm traveling, and maybe that's an excuse, but it is to get more acquainted with Gen AI and the many, many tools out there. And I think what's important is that it's not yet. I use it off and on, but I think what I've learned over the last 6 weeks is that I do really need to find a way to make it a habit. The second thing is, can I just say how pumped I am for the lineup today? 2024 has been absolutely nuts in so many ways, but especially in the world of work. And it gets harder for us to pick three topics every single month. So if it has found its way on our top three list, it is definitely a topic worth talking about. And I say this because every now and then, this is what I do at the AmCham meetings. So they try and do HR meets every month, and I try and make it to as many of them as I can. Now, this one that I attended earlier on, I think it was 8th May, was unique in the sense because we weren't just talking about our shared what's on top of mind, what are we driving towards, and common problem statements, but we were actually given markers and chart papers, and much like we used to do in workshops back in our business schools, we were asked to really get into the depth of the problem statement. And I think the one thing it made me realize is that most organizations face very similar challenges, and like while these solutions could be competitive advantage, sometimes I just wonder, like, if we really were to come together and solve for it, won't, like, just how much will we be accelerating the world of work overall? But thank you for listening to my TED Talk. Apurva, can you take a guess on what is the one problem statement that we voted on, which was the top problem statement that we all need to solve for?
I think the flavor of this year and the year gone by has been AI. So maybe I'll go with how Gen AI is going to impact our work and HR.
No, it was very refreshing that that was not what was our problem. I think the problem statement that we landed on is just how suboptimally we operate as a global organization. Like each, Samtime is essentially all a bunch of organizations which are headquartered in the US, and literally no one's got this, the art of developing a global mindset and actually operating across the globe in a way that is utilizing it the best way is like, it's something that we've not figured out yet. So that was a problem statement.
Interesting. And I now know why you say it was refreshing. It's always good to, you know, sometimes take away our blinkers and also look at, like, the problem could be right there, but we don't notice it because we're just always thinking of that next big thing. But anyway, I think I don't want to get into another TED Talk, so let me get us started for today. So our first topic for today, as we spoke about earlier, is what happened at Google's corporate offices on April 16th and the aftermath that followed. So protesters took over Google's corporate offices in New York, Seattle, and Sunnyvale in California in 10-hour sit-ins. The company fired 28 workers the next day on April 17th. This number eventually became 50 as confirmed by Google on April 23, which was a week after the incident. The employees were participating in protests against Project Nimbus, which is the company's cloud computing contract with the government of Israel, and they were organized by No Tech for Apartheid. The fired workers were accused of disrupting work and violating safety policies. They held banners which were emblazoned with messages like "No more genocide for profit" and highlighted their stance against the contract. The contract that's valued at $1.2 billion has faced a lot of scrutiny in light of claims that it supports the Israeli government's military efforts. Google asserts that the contract serves non-military purposes, but questions still linger about the company's ethical responsibilities. The organization No Tech for Apartheid claims that some of the workers that were fired by Google were actually non-participating bystanders and were not actively involved in workplace activism. A Google spokesperson, on the other hand, said that every single one of those whose employment was terminated was personally and definitively involved in disruptive activity inside their buildings, and that they confirmed and reconfirmed this. In wake of these protests, Alphabet CEO Sundar Pichai also sent a company-wide memo urging employees to keep politics out of the workplace, and that this is a business and not a place to act in a way that disrupts co-workers. He also went on to urge Googlers to not fight over disruptive issues or debate politics in the workplace. While all of this happened, a group of workers from Google then filed a complaint saying that the 50 employees were unlawfully fired. And the complaint was filed with the U.S. National Labor Relations Board, which alleges that Google interfered with employees' rights under U.S. labor law to advocate for better working conditions. So I know I said a lot there, but I wanted to give our listeners a lay of what exactly happened. So Ankita, what do you make of this incident and the statements from both sides?
For me, in so many ways, it's such a throwback. Now, Bandits, since we started the pod, on episode 2, we discussed, and this episode was like 3 years ago, so it's nothing new, right? Like, so 3 years ago, Basecamp took a stance on societal and political discussions within the organization. Jason Fried, in so many ways, is a visionary and probably saw times like these coming way before it's the norm right now. Now, when Basecamp first took a stance on saying that we will not encourage political and societal discussions on the company channels, they faced a huge backlash. And I'm sure organizations will continue to do so as they realize that that's probably the direction to go in. Here's how I feel about this particular incident, right? Now, organizations are a conglomeration, are a collection of people with extremely diverse societal and political views, personalities, nationalities, and more. So employees have a right to hold an opinion and to express it in a variety of ways. So you could express your opinion by deciding that this is no longer the workplace for you. So you could resign and look for work that aligns with your political and societal views. You could protest peacefully in a way that you get your opinion heard, but acknowledge that the organization has absolutely no obligation to conform to your point of view. And I think it's very easy to look at clamping down of protests as the restriction of freedom of speech. But I think in so many ways, what is normal for one person could be extremely offending to another, right? And I think sometimes it happens in this particular case, you might have a point of view and you might discourage support for projects that might aid the government, while as others could see it as complete anti-Semitism. So I think you have the right to protest in a way that might be acceptable to your particular organization. But like literally, I think increasingly organizations, like if it was Biden versus Trump, like you can't expect the organization to take a stance. Even Russia versus Ukraine, which probably seems as apparent on like organizations should be taking a side, but you have organizations in India which don't care. Like they're not going to come out and say, oh, we support Russia, oh, we support Ukraine. They're not going to do that. So for us as employees to look to our organizations and say they need to make these kind of stands, I think it's in some spaces ludicrous. And I think just like you do with finding organizations that align to your values, like you won't work for an organization sometimes if it supports, I don't know, smoking, gambling, things like that. If this is an organization that doesn't align with your values, don't expect the organization to do so overnight.
I think this is one topic, Ankita, where we largely agree on a lot of things. So, for example, I agree that when an issue is very polarizing, it's difficult for organizations to take a stand. And I don't think it's even right for someone to expect their organizations to take a stance. But then I also want our listeners to, I also want us to back up a little bit and see what's been happening in the place of workplace activism and expectations of CEOs in the last few years. And I wonder if CEOs themselves have set such high expectations of their, from, and now employees want them to speak up about everything and anything that happens. So for our US-based listeners, there was this case of Roe versus Wade, which was overturned by the Supreme Court here. And a lot of CEOs at that time went out there, put themselves out there and told their employees how they will continue to help with abortion support should employees choose to avail that. When there were the entire Ukraine versus Russia issue, a lot of organizations globally have been vocal, not so much in the Indian subcontinent and Asia Pacific, for example, but be it EU, be it US, we've seen that. So it does feel like the CEOs have really created that pressure for themselves. And now they find themselves in this really polarizing issue concerning Israel versus Palestine, where it's difficult to take sides, but everyone kind of expects them to. So I wonder if in such situations, it's just better for them, instead of being silent, try to uphold what are some shared values that both sides can agree with. It will not satisfy everyone, but maybe just put like a statement out there that pacifies both sides. It's easier said than done, but yeah, I don't know what
it's
else
it's going to be hard to do. Yeah, it is hard. And I think I think that the organizations are extremely powerful. And I don't know how many times I've repeated this on the pod, but organizations are literally at times more powerful than governments. So it's natural for us to want them to take a stance because they can probably influence it to a much larger extent. And organizations can 100% choose to take a stance in certain situations and choose not to take a stance in certain situations. Employees have the right to express their desire. But I think I still think, was there a better way to handle the firings? But I also think like there are mixed reports of saying that they were actually disrupting the workplace, which was, if that poses a threat to half the employees that are there in the organization, of course, like action is expected.
Yeah, I think if someone was peacefully protesting and then they got fired, I would be really worried and I would side with the employees. But if someone's vandalizing company property or making other employees feel unsafe, then I think a termination is not unwarranted.
Okay, we are aligned. Let's move on. I'm going to take us to another very big throwback topic. This is the Microsoft Work Trend Index. Now, in the very episode I mentioned earlier, which is episode 2, we also discussed the Microsoft Work Trend Index. And I particularly really love these reports because the amount of data Microsoft and LinkedIn look at to come up with these reports is almost unparalleled. So the report came out on 8th May. And they looked at 31,000 people across 31 countries. They identified labor and hiring trends from LinkedIn and analyzed trillions of Microsoft 365 productivity signals as well as research with Fortune 500 customers. So in terms of data, definitely the most exhaustive I've seen in a while. And they came up with findings under three broad heads. So the first one was employees want AI at work and they will not wait for companies to catch up. The second one was for employees, AI raises the bar and breaks the career ceiling. And lastly, the rise of the AI power user, which Apoorva is probably the direction in which you are headed, and what they reveal about the future. So there's a lot of gold in the report, but Apoorva, what's one thing that really stood out for you?
Yeah, it's difficult to point out one thing, but I think this is the theme of the episode for me that I started with. So if you recall, Bandits, in the beginning of the episode, I said how I've been thinking about how AI is going to impact our work and our jobs and everything that we do at the workplace. This report was actually one of the things that prompted that seed, or added fire to that seed, I should say. Because one of the things that the report talks about, supported by a lot of data, is how skills are projected to change globally. So there's a stat in the report which says skills are projected to change by 50% by 2030 from, if we compare them against 2016. And generative AI is expected to accelerate this change to 68%. Additionally, more than two-thirds, which is 68% of this year's LinkedIn jobs, which are on the rise, which are some of the fastest growing roles in the US, did not even exist 20 years ago. In the recruiting function, 12% of recruiters say that they are already creating new roles that are tied specifically to the use of generative AI. So all this data shows how our skills, the work that we do, the jobs are really going to undergo this massive transformation. But then on the other hand, this report also points out how organizations are likely not doing enough and employees are bringing their own tools or really are trying to fend for themselves and learning by themselves to catch up. So this has two key takeaways for me. Number one, as an HR person, I think we all should make, in our own limited capacities, AI upskilling a top priority for our employees wherever we are in our organizations. If it isn't a priority already, it can really provide a competitive advantage to our companies in today's day and age. And second is, as an individual, I think we really need to do what we can to train ourselves and not miss the bus and not wait for top-down guidance or instructions. So enroll for that LinkedIn course or that Coursera course. None of these are our sponsors, just citing some examples. Or just try building your own GPT and see what it feels like. Before you start working on any task or problem, pause and think how you can use AI to solve for it. So one of the things I did is that I asked Gemini, which is Google's ChatGPT, to create a 6-month and a 4-month learning plan for me. While I'm not going to go into the details, we will be happy to share it with our listeners when the episode goes live, if you ask for it.
Well, I'm asking for it. So hopefully we won't have to wait for too long. But I agree with what you said. I think we definitely need to figure out how to make this a part of our everyday life and a habit. So I love the fact that you pause, ask, how do I use it? But the thing that stood out for me, as always, of course, this is a Microsoft report, and it's only natural that they use it for branding, especially because they have their own Gen AI tools. So there's a little section on Copilot tucked away at the end. And there are quite a few compelling statistics on email overload, meetings, and burnout in the report, right? And I think the fact is that as and when we get efficient at using Gen AI, what will happen is that a lot of transactional work will go away, and it will lead to an increase of cognitive load on people. So you can no longer just tune away as you work on Excel spreadsheets or do like routine tasks. Your cognitive load on the brain will highly increase. And how do we actually manage that? Right. So that's one part. And the other part is the stats on Copilot. So Copilot can help spend 25 to 45% less time with emails. They can help you run more effective meetings, and they can increase your document usage or whatever. They can help your documents be more efficient by 10 to 20%. So it's definitely going to take away a lot of your low cognitive load tasks. So it's a good thing, but I'm not sure if how we'll manage that. So I think one part is help our workforce get really attuned to Gen AI, and then figure out how do we actually not just kill our workforce by increasing the cognitive load to an extent that they burn out much faster than they otherwise would. So that's my takeaway from this. And Apoorva, I will wait for your cheat sheet on how we get better with Gen AI.
Yeah, and on the topic of cognitive workload, I wonder if we then need to seriously start thinking about what you thought, Ankita, will not be a trend, which is the 4-day work week. Can that be a way of giving some time back to our employees?
Yes, and I vote that we get Wednesdays off. But we won't get into that just yet. Apoorva, take us to a third and final topic.
All right. So our final topic of the day, Starbucks took a recent decision in late March this year to decouple executive pay from their diversity, equity, and inclusion goals. And this really marks a big departure from its previous policy, where Starbucks was really a front runner, where in 2020, they linked a portion of executive compensation, 7.5% to be precise, to achieve DEI goals. At the time, this was really seen as a bold move towards holding their leaders accountable for fostering a diverse and inclusive workplace. But come March this year, shareholders overwhelmingly approved, which is 90% of them approved a new comp plan that removed the direct link between DEI and bonuses. So it does look like regulatory pressure, as well as investors pushing for stronger focus on short-term financial results, had a role to play here. We also know that measuring progress on DEI goals is not easy. It can sometimes be subjective, which could have also caused some discomfort. Starbucks does say that their new plan uses a broader term called talent for a part of the bonus structure rather than DEI. So maybe DEI efforts can still fit under this broad umbrella, but the situation does spark a crucial conversation. Are companies shying away from making DEI a priority the way they were in the past? I'll reserve my thoughts on that, but what do you think, Ankita? Any initial reactions?
Well, I have quoted this piece of news at least thrice in the past 4 days. So it's definitely a notable piece of news, and it helps spark conversation in the space of DEI. But there are two parts of it. First, they were undisclosed diversity goals, so I don't know whether taking them away actually has a huge impact, because like you don't know what you don't know. So I don't know what the goals were. I don't know whether they actually got any of that bonus or got all of that bonus. It is a disturbing sign in this fact that it signals a change, but time will tell whether Starbucks is actually doing more or less. I think Starbucks has been infamous for doing a fair bit in the space of diversity. They've gone back and forth, of course, because of the spotlight being put on them. But I think as long as you continue to focus on these topics, I think we're all right. I do wish that it was still linked to the pay, but I genuinely can't have a very strong opinion because they've just not disclosed what the parameters were. So if you know, if you're working in Starbucks Bandits, per usual, you have an open invite to chat with both Apoorva and I to shed more on this. But Apoorva, what are your opinions?
I mean, I really feel what gets measured gets delivered. And linking some of these diversity goals to executive pay has been one of the ways in which several companies, not just Starbucks, have really achieved some bold results in the area of DEI. I remember Unilever, for example, I think it was a few years back, where they achieved gender equality in their managerial roles. And it took them a lot of effort and really a lot of emphasis from their executives' ranks to do so. So I worry if this regresses, if this becomes part of a larger trend, whether a lot of work that's been done in the space of DEI will be undone. But I also want to recall our listeners that DEI and the approach towards DEI changing was one of the trends we highlighted in this year's in our 2024 predictions. And we've continued to see something or the other every month. So it's something we are going to keep a close watch on for you Bandits and keep you all updated. But yeah, my reactions, I feel this will have a negative impact because of reasons I mentioned, Ankita. At least that's my opinion.
Yeah, I think you're right. We're gonna have to come back with a scorecard on our trends spotted at the start of the year. So it is a topic we're gonna keep a close eye on, and I'm hoping that it's more like a outward PR move versus an actual impact. But yeah, time will tell. So that was quite the set. I know we did the three topics, but as usual, we are not done yet. Here are three other things you should know before we let you go. So first, Crotonville, GE's famed management academy outside New York City, has now finally been sold. So the Jack Welch School of Business, as it's unofficially called, is officially closed. The second thing that I found extremely fascinating is Limitless is an AI startup that's backed by legendary VC firm Andreessen Horowitz. They just launched an AI pendant. So it's supposed to be tiny and you can carry it around and it transcribes all of your conversations. Now, it's great for meetings, but it's also very, very scary because now you have literally no idea what's getting recorded, what's getting not. And lastly, and probably the one which you probably heard because it's kicked up quite the storm, the FTC has killed the non-compete agreement. Now, the agreement is already hard to implement in most places, but has it gone for real? I don't know. So, Bandits, as always, everything we've referred to today is linked in the show notes.
Wow, was that just an April wrap-up, Ankita? It feels like we wrapped up a quarter right there. But yeah, I think the year is making it hard to keep pace with everything that's going on. But that's why we are here, Bandits, to save you the trouble and help you keep pace with everything happening in the world of work.
Okay, on that note, I'm going to get us out of here. We've been here a while, but not before we sing happy birthday. So HR Bandit just completed 3 complete revolutions around the sun this month. And so Apoorva and I are going to sing happy birthday to the pod. If you're listening, sing along with us. Apoorva, do you want to do a usual 1, 2, 3?
Happy birthday to HR Bandits.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah,
we clearly don't know what to sing it, but on that note, I'm going to actually get us out of here before we get kicked out. Bandits, please don't complain against our awful singing voices. Until next time, on behalf of Apoorva and an HRDian, this is Ankita and we are out.
You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast. Your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.